I have been considerably more foggy-headed and distracted than I'm used to being this week and this morning. Let's pray. Lord, I need your help. I always need your help. I'm particularly aware of the need right now. So help me. Help me to proclaim your word with clarity, with faithfulness, with power. Help us to hear your word falling as seed on good soil in our hearts and growing up to bear the fruit of your kingdom. Amen. We're in Luke chapter 9, and in a series of texts that are about Jesus gathering together the first group of Christians in all of history. These texts show us really what it is to be a Christian. And so 2 weeks ago, we looked at verses 10 to 17, and being a Christian means being an apprentice to Jesus and living by grace. And then last week at verses 18 to 22, being a Christian means saying of Jesus, he is God's Christ who rescues me from death. And then here in verses 23 to 27, we're back to apprenticeship, to following Jesus. But Jesus puts a different and more difficult lens on the apprenticeship. Here in this text, we see that to be a Christian means to be an apprentice to Jesus in living through dying. Being a Christian means following Jesus in living through dying. And that's really what verse 23 is saying, is the essence of what following Jesus is. And then the rest of the passage is Jesus kind of knowing the difficulty of what he is saying, explaining why. So verse 23, what an apprentice to Jesus does, and then verses 24 to 27, why on earth anyone would follow Jesus in doing that. So verse 23, Jesus says, to be a Christian, to be an apprentice to me means to follow me in living through dying. And Jesus said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Let us deny ourselves, take up our crosses daily, and follow Jesus. There's some stuff going on in the grammar of verse 23 that I'm going to not explain in detail, but you need to know the essence of it. That sequence, deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and follow Jesus, it's not a 1-2-3 sequence. It's more like an equation. 1 + 2 = 3. So it's saying to follow Jesus equals deny yourself plus take up your cross daily. Those two elements add up to following Jesus, to being an apprentice of Jesus. The Christian life is a life of denying ourselves and taking up our crosses daily. So let's spend a few minutes on each of those elements. To be a Christian is to follow Jesus in denying yourself. A clarification, this does not mean denying the existence of yourself. Your selfhood, your individuality, your soul is the word Jesus is going to use in the next couple of verses, is not an illusion, as is taught in some other places. Nor is it denying the goodness and significance of yourself. This is about following Jesus, and Jesus doesn't deny the goodness or significance of his self. So we don't either. Rather, this is about denying the supremacy and centrality of yourself. That's what you are being called to by Jesus. Not to destroy the self, but to displace it from the center. To not live as the reference point and the driving force of your own life, but to make room in the center of your existence for something, someone else. Self-denial in the Christian life is not self-destruction or self-hate. We don't follow Jesus by saying, I am ugly or worthless or evil through and through. Self-denial in the Christian life is decentering. We follow Jesus by saying, I am not most important. I am not the main character in my own story. That role is blessedly taken by someone else. This is all through Scripture, even when it's not named aloud. The oldest spiritual discipline in human history and in the Bible is the Sabbath. The Sabbath is this practice given by God where we're once a week to take a whole day and accomplish nothing. No achievements, no boxes checked, right? No money earned, right? A whole day for resting, worship, and fellowship. That activity is a denial of the supremacy and centrality of ourselves. Right? If ourselves are the supreme and central thing, then our activities and our accomplishments are what matter most, and we would never presume to take a whole day off from accomplishing anything, because everything depends on us. Right? But if we do that, if we set aside a whole day to behave as if what we do is not most important, we are practicing self-denial, the Christian way. Now, we could take that and make it an un-Christian self-denial, where we're practicing denying our own goodness and significance. And we turn the Sabbath into what? One more burden and exercise and sitting here and thinking about how awful and unworthy we are. Christians in history have done this. But that's actually, if you pause and think about it for a minute, putting the self right back at the center. What am I doing on the Sabbath? I'm thinking about how important my awfulness and unworthiness is. That's not what it's meant to be. It's a gift from the God who is at the center to people he loves and delights in and considers significant, just not supremely important. This is self-denial. And it is the self-denial of following Jesus, of observing and imitating Jesus, specifically of observing and imitating Jesus' self-denial in the Garden of Gethsemane. Perhaps you know the story. On the night before he ends up being crucified, taking up his cross, Jesus goes into the Garden of Gethsemane to pray and to wrestle with his own temptation to treat his self as central and supreme. And he prays and he says to God, God, I don't want to do this. I don't want to take up my cross. I don't want to die. Is there any way out? Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. I have told you what I want, and now I am going to behave as if what I want is not supremely important. As if myself is not central. That's the self-denial we're imitating in following Jesus. And we do it in order, just like Jesus did, in order to take up our cross daily. This is the other piece. Deny yourselves, and take up your cross daily, and you'll be following me. So what is it to take up your cross daily? Taking up your cross daily is not, although I've heard it described this way many times by earnest Christians, is not suffering in general. Right? If you have an awful medical condition, that is awful, but it is not your cross. The cross involves suffering, but to take up your cross daily is something much more specific. When Jesus took up his cross, he was embracing, willingly offering his life, giving himself away for the sake of others, for the sake of obeying his Father's will in heaven, and for the sake of saving you and me and bringing us into life with him. That's what Jesus was doing in taking up his cross. He was willing to submit to suffering, rejection, and even death for the sake of love. To take up your cross daily is to imitate Jesus, to willingly submit to suffering, rejection, even death, for the sake of love. It is to give your life away for others. That's taking up your cross daily. I offer myself for you. I have denied myself and moved myself out of the center of my own story. I am no longer supreme in my own mind in order to make space to imitate Jesus in lovingly giving myself away for someone else. To take up your cross daily can be, it has been at various times, history-making, earth-shattering. In the late 18th and early 19th century in England, there was a group of people, the most well-known of whom are Hannah More and William Wilberforce, who took up their cross for the sake of loving those caught up in the transatlantic slave trade. They spent decades enduring suffering, the rejection of British society, giving their lives away, fighting for the end of the slave trade, out of love for people they had mostly never met or laid eyes on. They did it day after day after day after day. And it did change history. Slavery ended. Taking up your cross daily can look like that. It can look like Tim referenced in Sunday school this morning, the Christian communities during the Roman Empire that stayed in cities during plagues. They didn't understand how to treat plagues 1,800 years ago, but they knew that disease passed from one person to others who were in proximity. So the policy was run away. Go shelter in some other place. But Christians didn't do that. They stayed present in Rome, in Antioch, in Ephesus, in Alexandria. And instead of running away from those who were sick, went to them and cared for them. Enduring the suffering, often catching the same plague. Enduring rejection because nobody else wanted to be around them, knowing where they had been. Some of them facing death. And yet, people lived through the plague because they were cared for. That's taking up your cross daily. Taking up your cross daily is also just a daily activity. It takes place in the midst of ordinary life on most days, because most days are ordinary. We talked about Sabbath keeping, the fourth commandment. The next commandment, class, is, somebody has to know this, honor your father and your mother. Good job, Dave. Two heaven points for you. Honor your father and mother, which is not a command, you know, for Tess or Linus to do what mom and dad tell them to do. It's a command to grown-ups to take care of your mom and your dad after they stop being able to take care of themselves. Which I'm looking around at the people I know who have done this and are nodding and going, yep, taking up your cross daily. right? Moving yourself out of the center of your own life and living out, not my will, but God who gave this commandments be done. That is giving your life away for the sake of love. That is following Jesus. So to be a Christian, to follow Jesus, is to be apprenticed to him in this, in denying the self and taking up the cross daily, in moving yourself out of the center and giving your life away for the sake of love. And it is a grind. It's possible to speak in really inspiring ways about denying yourself and taking up your cross daily. The actual living of it gets uninspiring real quick. It's a slog. The image of take up the cross is meant to give you a literal picture of picking up a huge wooden beam and dragging it step by step to the place of your execution. Why would anyone do this? This is the moment when the disciples start to wonder, did we hitch our wagon to the right horse? Are we apprenticed to the right master here? Because before, apprenticeship to Jesus mean like watch him do miracles and say amazing, inspiring things and then get sent out to imitate him in doing miracles and saying amazing and inspiring things. And that sounds pretty good. That's exhilarating. That's full of life. Now what? You want me to go and find a torture device, which is what a cross was, and carry it around with me every day? Why would anyone do this? This is what Jesus understands the force of that question, which is why he spends the rest of the paragraph explaining. Do this because it is the only way to life. The only way to really live is to be willing to die. Be apprenticed to me in living through dying. Verses 24 and 25. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake, whoever denies himself and takes up his cross, will save it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? Jesus says this, in essence, you have two options. You can take the one that I've just given you, as unappealing as it may sound, to deny yourself and take up your cross. Or you can do the opposite. You can treat the self as central, as supreme. In the words of verse 24, you can work to save your own self, preserve and protect your own life. And Jesus makes the sort of basic biological observation that that is a strategy that in the long run has a 100% failure rate. If you make your life about preserving your life, on the day that you die, you become an utter and eternal failure at your stated goal. The central thing collapses, and with it, the whole structure that you have created. If you set out to do that, death brings an end to all of your hopes and dreams, even if you have managed in the course of preserving and protecting your life to gain, verse 25, the entire world. You can't take any of it with you to the grave. Your plans for self-preservation are doomed. So you can treat death as something to put off for as long as possible and spend your life wondering if you're going to be pulling that off for another day or year or decade. or you can be willing to die. And Jesus promises life on the other side of that death. Promises that you will come to live through dying. And then in verses 26 and 27, Jesus gets beyond the biology, right? Beyond the obvious, you're going to perish. And into what death and life really mean in Scripture. We talked some about this last week, but we're going to end up reiterating, right? Death and life are more than biological terms. Not less, but more. Jesus goes on and he says, "For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him will the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in his glory and the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. But I tell you truly, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God." In Scripture, to die is not simply to cease breathing. It is to be cut off. The word Jesus uses in verse 26 is ashamed. If you say, in effect, "Jesus, I want nothing to do with you," which is what you are saying if you keep yourself at the center, as supreme. You say, "The throne is occupied in my life. Get out." If you commit your whole existence to that, then in the end, Jesus consents. He says, "Okay. You are ashamed of me, you reject me, you want nothing to do with me, you want the throne for yourself. Have it your way. I will turn away from you too." That is death. The futility, the alienation, a life of rejecting and being rejected. That is the end of the road that keeps the self at the center, that tries to preserve and maximize and assert one's own will. The alternative in 27, "But I tell you truly, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God." There is a way to never have death lay full claim to you. To never be lost to that alienation and that rejection. There is a way, Jesus promises, not just after your body expires, but here and now, the seeing the kingdom of God, you don't have to wait long in Luke. It starts in verse 28. And God willing, we'll get to it next week. You get this actual picture of life as it's meant to be, where Jesus is at the center, is supreme, where he belongs on the throne, and there are others gathered around them, and they are in conversation and in celebration. They are living and rejoicing together, and God the Father himself speaks down and says, "This, Jesus, is my beloved Son, my chosen one. Listen to him." To be a part of that is life. To be drawn into the beloved family of God, to be in conversation and in celebration and rejoicing together in the presence of God, to have alienation gone forever. To never hear or speak another word of rejection, or experience or inflict another pang of loneliness. That is life, and it is on the other side of death. Death can be your end, and you can try to save your life until the day you lose it. Or Jesus can be your end, and you can follow him in denying yourself and being willing to die for his sake. And then death will be your door into eternal and perfect life. That is the whole list of choices. A life with yourself at the center. Trying to generate energy and vitality and direction and purpose for as long as you possibly can until you can't. Or a life where you step out of the center and let Jesus take his rightful place. And he leads you through Gethsemane, through Calvary, and into resurrection glory. It's the whole list of choices. Choose wisely. Choose life. Let's pray. Lord, we need your help. We can hear the goodness and the wisdom of choosing your way, of denying ourselves and taking up our crosses and following you. And we hear the relentless siren song of the self. How do I get my will to be done? How do I prove myself worthy? What if I'm not good enough? God, we need you to lead us not into that temptation, but deliver us from evil, from the supremacy of our own selves, so that the song of our entire lives could be, yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever, Jesus. World without end. Amen. Amen.